Hi, this is Molly, and I just wanted to take a quick moment to acknowledge the financial strain so many families are facing right now. This episode is about saving strategies, and we know not everyone is able to save money right now. However, there are many families who are able to develop better money management skills, and we hope the information provided in this episode is a helpful resource during National Financial Capability Month. Thank you. Hi, and welcome to Money Talk. This podcast is intended to provide financial professionals with tools, research, and resources that encourage their professional growth and make a positive impact on the work they're doing with families. I'm Molly Herndon, and I serve as the program coordinator for the Military Families Learning Network's Personal Finance Concentration Area. I'm joined by Dr. Barbara O'Neill, the owner of Money Talk Financial Planning Seminars and Publications, where she writes, speaks, and reviews content about personal finance. Thank you for joining us. All right. Hi, Barbara. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Molly. Thanks.
Good. Let's talk about building a positive credit history. So what advantages does having access to credit provide?
Well, credit is so important for so many reasons. First of all, it gives us the ability to buy something or do something today and pay for it later. So whether it's buying a refrigerator or taking a trip, you don't have to have all the cash in hand. You can put it on a credit card and pay for it later. So that's one big advantage. Another one is just the flexibility to make those purchases and to take advantage of opportunities without having to have that cash in hand. Having a credit history is going to be a whole lot easier for people when they're out on their own, they have to rent an apartment, or they have to get service credit from a utility company. They're going to check your credit history. So if you have a positive history, that's going to help. And then also just the peace of mind, knowing that if times are tough, if you lose a job, your pay gets cut, you have a backup line of credit if needed, because you do have some credit established.
Why is credit so important for military families?
Well, I think it's particularly important because military families move so much. You know, those PCS moves, permanent change of station, they're moving frequently. And as somebody who's moved within the last year, I can tell you, you have a lot of expenses. You've got new utility hookups that you've got to put in, deposits that you might have to make if you don't have good credit. There's just a lot more that is compounded. Maybe you're on the road driving to a new location and you have to stay in hotels. There's just so many instances where military families on the move can really benefit from having access to credit.
Why is a positive credit history so important?
Well, like credit itself, a good credit history is important because, first of all, it's going to help get credit. You know, you have to have a good positive credit history in order for people to extend you a line of credit. So it's going to help you get credit. It can help you rent an apartment. And in many states, credit histories can also affect the amount that you pay on auto insurance premiums when they're going to check your credit score on that. So it's important for that. It's important to buy things, particularly online. You know, so many people are shopping online these days, and anything that you're doing, whether you're buying a product or you're making a travel reservation, you're going to need to kind of reserve it with a credit card. So it's really important in that regard. And then, of course, credit provides leverage. Leverage is what I call OPM, other people's money. Mm-hmm. So if you're buying something that's really big ticket, like a house or a car, most people can't afford to just plunk down. I think the average car now is about $35,000, an average new car. So people don't have $35,000 they can plunk down, or, you know, $250,000 for a house or something. So it just makes it possible to provide that leverage that people need to buy those big ticket items and pay for them over time.
Why is good credit so important for service members?
Well, for all of the reasons that I just mentioned for everybody, plus for military families, for service members, in certain jobs, they're going to need to have security clearances. And they're going to check your credit because that's a measure of your character. And if you have a problem with your credit or your finances in general, that could deny you a security clearance. And that can have all sorts of repercussions as far as a military career. So it's really important that people have good credit history and manage their finances responsibly.
What does being credit invisible mean?
Well, this is a term that you hear quite a bit, and it really means that you have no recorded history with the big three credit bureaus. So the big three, we think about Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, and you have no history with them. So you are invisible. So if somebody wanted to run a credit check on you, and they would have your name, and they would come up with a big blank. There would be nothing good or bad or anything about you because you basically don't exist as far as the credit bureaus are concerned. And I did a Twitter chat recently about this and did some research. And according to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, 1 in 10 adults, so that's about 26 million Americans, are credit invisible. So it's something that really affects a lot of people.
Why is this an issue for service members?
Well, many service members, you're thinking about like the young enlisted, they're young. There is some of the service members enroll right out of high school. So they're very likely to be invisible because they're young. They haven't had a credit card. They haven't had any experience using credit. So that's a real issue, particularly for the youngest of the service members, is they are probably credit invisible.
So what's a thin file?
Okay, well, that's another term that they use in the industry. And I guess it's like one step up from being invisible. You know, invisible would be you have no history. Thin file means you have a very limited credit history, which still makes it very difficult for the credit bureaus, the big three that I talked about, to generate a score on you because there's just not a whole lot of history that they can go on, that they can run the algorithms that are necessary to generate a credit score. So it's hard. It makes it very difficult for people to get approved for credit when their use of credit has been very limited. Not totally invisible, but not really enough, let's say, in some cases to generate a credit score. Some lenders, not all, but in some cases, some lenders might consider other payment information. So if people can show other positive aspects of their financial history, whether it's paying bills, whether it's bank statements, references, something like that, they might consider it, you know, in lieu of having a really good credit profile. But again, that's kind of on a case-by-case basis.
How do those thin files affect service members?
Well, it's the same as being invisible. Many of them are likely, if they're just enlisted in the military, to be very young and not have much use of credit, and also to have been kind of inexperienced with credit. So again, it can make it difficult to generate a history.
Okay. What are some other reasons a person might be credit invisible or have a thin credit file?
Well, a big reason is age. Like I've mentioned before, people who are very young, they haven't previously used credit, so they have no credit history. People who are immigrants to the United States often face the challenge as well, because like young adults, they also don't have any prior credit history that's been recorded with the credit bureaus. And then there may be other people who, for whatever reason, have just not had credit in their own name. Maybe some women who have always had the husband apply for credit. I mean, it still happens these days. Maybe they have been full-time homemakers. It's been difficult for them to get credit in their own name. So people who, for whatever reason, have just not used credit, they can be invisible to lenders as well.
Do you have any personal stories about credit invisibility?
Well, I do, actually. My husband, Gene, he when we started dating and when we eventually got married, he was in his late 20s, and he had been in the military. And for some reason, he just never had any credit. So he didn't have bad credit. He didn't even have thin file. He was invisible. So in the early years of our marriage, he was kind of a credit invisible. And it took a while to build up a credit history. And now he has no problem. I mean, he gets a credit card statement every month where they put his credit score on for the last 12 months. It's Discover, and they give you this little graph that shows how your credit card, your credit score goes up in the last 12 months or goes up or down. It kind of like peaks a little bit. And he's been running in the 820s now. So he has no problem with his credit score now. But back in the day, he was pretty much a credit invisible and had to work on that.
Huh. What financial challenges do people face if they have a thin credit file or are credit invisible?
Well, again, like I said before, utilities can be a real problem, particularly military families that are moving around. If you have to hook up to apartments and then you change and you have to do it again and again. So if you don't have a credit history, it may be difficult to access utility services without making a large deposit. Although I can tell you from personal experience, having just moved in the last 6 months or so, is that if you can, even if you don't have a good credit history, well, we did, but even if you don't have, you know, a good credit history with the credit bureaus, if you have a good payment history with your previous utility provider and you can get a letter of reference, that might be good to satisfy your new utility provider. And we had to do that for our electric. We were able to get a letter from our provider in New Jersey that we sent to our provider in Florida. So utility services can be an issue because, I mean, you've got three or four utilities and they all want $250. That's a lot of money to be out of pocket. And then, of course, it also could be difficult to get loans, to get cell phones, renting apartments. All of those things really can be a challenge when you have a thin file or your credit invisible.
So what do credit invisibles do to get by?
Well, whatever they can. You know, some people end up borrowing from family members because they can't borrow from financial institutions. Or sometimes the family members will end up co-signing loans for them so that they can borrow from financial institutions. Sometimes people just do without things, just because they don't have the wherewithal to be able to buy them. And that's a challenge as well.
What can you do to build your credit report if you have a thin file or no credit history?
Well, there's a number of things that you can do. There are secured credit cards out there. They tend to have higher fees and interest rates than cards that aren't secured. So I wouldn't use them for the long term, but when you're first starting out and need to build a credit history, you might apply for a secured credit card. And then what you would do is you would deposit the amount of money that's needed to secure your credit line. So if you wanted a $500 credit line, you'd deposit $500 or $1,000, whatever the case might be. You might also ask your financial institution, particularly small community banks and credit unions, if they have a small installment loan. They sometimes refer to it as a credit builder loan. And it's typically a loan that would be maybe $500, $1,000, might go as low as $300 depending on the institution. So you have like $300 to $1,000 that you're borrowing. and a period of time, usually somewhere between 6 to 24 months. And then you make timely payments on that loan. Mm. And that will build your history because you'll be recording an on-time payment over a period of time. Because it usually takes at least about 6 months of timely payments to generate some recorded history enough that, you know, you can get a report or a score on it. So this small loan can really make it possible to do that. You could also start applying for retail store cards or gas station credit cards as a stepping stone. I just caution people, though, that they have some of the highest interest rates. Mm. Some of those interest rates on store cards are in the 26 to 29% range. So you want to pay those bills in full. But what you want to try to do is make small purchases and pay them off in full the following month. And again, get that recorded history that you've made on-time payments on a credit card. And then possibly after a while that you've been doing that with some retail cards, then you would have success trying to get a bank card, like a, you know, a Visa card, something like that. The other thing you can do is become an authorized user on the credit card of somebody who has a positive credit history, you know, like parent, for example. That can help as well.
How long does it take for an invisible to generate a credit score?
I've heard through various sources that it takes about 6 months. I don't know if that's an absolute, but I guess what I would say to people is don't expect to have an instant credit score. It's going to take at least a few months of making timely payments to have that recorded history to be able to generate some kind of history in your own name for credit.
Okay. Can you talk about a personal life experience that impacted your access to credit?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I've already told you about my husband being invisible when we first got married. But for me personally, I was never invisible, but I've had access to credit denied like within the last year. And you might say, well, how can people do that? You're money talk. Well, what I did is I froze all my credit after the Equifax hack. And back in 2017, I thought to myself, I'll never need credit again. I'll just pay cash for everything. So I don't care. I'm freezing myself. And then in this past year, when I moved, and just like service members did, I had to, you know, pull up stakes from one state, go to another state. I had to unfreeze several times. I had to unfreeze to get new utility services because they had to check my credit. I had to unfreeze to be able to open a savings account with a national bank. And then with one of my utilities, I couldn't unfreeze quickly enough because I was kind of like signing up on the spot kind of thing. And I actually had to pay a utility deposit because I couldn't unfreeze quickly enough. So I guess, you know, it can happen where your access can be denied.
So there are takeaways from that experience for others to learn from?
Well, I think for everybody, I think you'll need to get comfortable with the idea that you probably can't stay frozen for your entire life, particularly if you're in the military and you're going to be moving around. And unfreezing, actually, as I came to find out, isn't so bad. You basically go online with Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, whoever you're unfreezing with. And the one thing that you can do is you can find out in advance from the person who's checking you out, like the utility company, well, who are you using? You know, have them tell you, are you using Experian? Are you using Equifax, TransUnion? And then you only have to unfreeze one. You don't have to do all three because everything has to be done individually, which is a real pain. Mm-hmm. But if they tell you, okay, we use Experian, then you just have to unfreeze Experian. And try to get them to give you a time. Like, we're going to check you out this afternoon. And then when you go to unfreeze yourself, you can actually set a date range. So you can be unfrozen for as little as 10, 15 minutes up to like a day. Okay. When I did it, I actually unfroze myself for a 2-week period because there were just too many things that were being checked, from too many places. And so I just kind of gave myself a window to be able to have access for all the people who were checking us out. And then of course, freeze yourself down again once all of those inquiries have been made.
Mm-hmm. How can you help establish credit if you can't open an account with a lender?
Well, I would have two recommendations for people. I think, first of all, reach out to a community bank or a credit union in your area and see if they do have one of those credit builder loans that I was talking about, where you can apply for a small dollar loan, make regular payments, and get some recorded history in your name. So that would be important. If it's kind of of the essence that you do it immediately, then probably next best bet would be to ask a family member for assistance, to be a lender to you or to be a co-signer or to make you an authorized user. But then having said that, you want to make sure you make those payments because the last thing you want to do is have a breakdown in your relationships with family or friends over unpaid debt. So take it seriously. Even though it's a family member versus a bank, you treat that family loan as seriously as you would if it was a payment due to a bank.
Right. Okay. Well, this is good information. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Bye.
Thank you for listening today. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher. Visit MilitaryFamiliesLearningNetwork.org to RSVP for upcoming webinars, watch recorded webinars, and read blog posts for military service providers. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.